Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message from Real Life Community, where we talk about connecting with God and others, growing in Christ-likeness, and sharing God's life with the world. My name is Sarah Comer, and I serve each week as Connections Pastor, making sure that you know that there is a God and a community that loves you and wants to go through the seasons of life with you. The easiest way to connect with us from right where you are is by downloading our free Real Life Community app from your App Store. You can also find us at reallifecommunity.org, and we would love to meet you on Facebook or Instagram. Until then, we hope this message meets you right where you are and helps you know just how deep the Father's love is for you.
We have lots of ground to cover today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 9. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 9 and then lots of other different little verses along the way, okay? But it's been a journey preparing this sermon, and pretty amazing how God has just been inserting all sorts of things into my life as I've been preparing. And then just even the last song that we sang, I couldn't handle the overwhelming sense of God's presence in that last song. I could not contain what was happening just now. So God wants to speak to us today, and I believe it. We're going to be in Luke chapter 9, starting in 27. We're going to read two different stories today. So 27, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." So he's saying this to his disciples, and now they're going to get to see the kingdom of God, okay? About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up to a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, because they are always sleeping. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He didn't know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone, and the disciples kept them to themselves and did not tell anyone what had happened. We're going to pause there for just a second. We're going to go back for a moment and talk about what happens to Jesus while he's praying. Okay, so this had to be quite a thing to witness, right? Awake or asleep, right? But can you go to the next slide? I'm sorry, I didn't like really. Yeah, so here's the picture of kind of what's happening up there. Jesus begins to pray, and the appearance of his face changes, and his clothes are as bright as a flash of lightning. So you can hardly even contained to see this. And as I was reading this, for some reason, it made me think of my grandmother when she used to testify. Did you ever have the grandmother or the old lady in your church that would stand up and testify? And some of you might not even know what that means. Well, she would stand up sometime during the worship service, and it was always, "Glory, glory, glory." Always, three glories. And then she would go on and proceed and talk about whatever it was that God was doing in her life at that moment. And it was always wonderful and amazing, and she would cry, and other people would cry, and it was beautiful, okay? But when my grandmother got up there and testified, something changed about her. When we are in the presence of God, it changes us. Do you believe me with that? When we're in his presence, it changes us. And not only when we lift up our Lord and Savior does it lift him up, it lifts us up. And it's a chain reaction, isn't it, to the people around us. It changes us, and you want that. You ever met a person that just has this positive demeanor about them? They're happy all the time. They see good in things. That is God at work in their life, right? It changes us. And so for that brief moment, they get to see a glimpse of what Jesus probably looked like in heaven. Probably not completely, because we can't handle that yet. But that was a little glimpse of who he is in heaven. And he's there amongst Moses and Elijah, who are also in heaven, right? They know him. They know him full well, just like we will when we get to heaven, right? We'll be one with him. So Jesus is getting a little bit of a taste of, oh, remember what it was before I was born into that trough? Remember how it used to be when he was up in heaven and adored and in awe? Okay, so here's the next passage, starting in 37. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him, as usual. The man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son. He's my only child," and a spirit seizes him. Suddenly he screams, it throws him into convulsions, and he foams at the mouth. It scarcely ever leaves him, and it's destroying him. "I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not." Listen to what Jesus says. "You unbelieving and perverse generation." This is what Jesus says. "How long shall I stay with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Jesus said that to people. It's in here. "Even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him on the ground in a convulsion, but Jesus rebuked the spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father." Okay? So let's talk about what Jesus says here and what's happening. He's just come from being up there, getting a little taste of heaven, right? Where he loves to be, I'm sure. And then he comes right back down into the mess. Right? Right back down into it. Which he chose to do, mind you. He chose to leave heaven, right? Come back into the mess so he could completely and fully understand the things that we go through and all. But he's frustrated. It kind of makes me think of parenting in a way. Have you ever said something to your child more than once? Right? And you kind of just have this, ugh. And that's what Jesus is saying. It's like, oh, come on, guys. I am here. I am with you. You've seen me. You've seen what I can do. I've given you the power to do what I can do. And you still don't believe. When are we going to wake up, Christians, and believe that he is who he says he is? And he's given us this power over it all. And he's standing there and he's like, come on, guys. But he doesn't just leave him at that, does he, right? He's like, bring the boy. I'll heal him for you. So it's that kind of love that he gives to us, right? Even in our unbelief, he blesses us with his goodness. But when we believe full on, our whole heart, believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, what can be accomplished in our tiny little life? So we're going to talk about faith today. Will you please go to the next slide for me? Faith is super important, isn't it? Especially in this day and age. Our faith should be right out in front of our face all the time. We should be shouting praises to God all the time. In this world, this crazy world, we need to be standing apart from the crowd. Okay? So I decided to just make a list. There's lots of different other ways we can build our faith. So many. But these are just some of the things I thought about and I thought we should discuss for just a few minutes today. Okay, so the first one is, talk to God honestly every day. You have to pray if you want to have faith. And be honest with him. Talk to him. He can handle it, right? Pray. Pray to your Father every day. And that alone will make your faith so much stronger. The next one is brag on God to others. When is the last time you can remember that you bragged on God to someone? Right? Sometimes we find ourselves, when we're in a bad situation, more thinking, more analytical maybe about things, right? Like, how can we handle this? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Or praise him in the storm. Lift him up, right? Brag on God to others. And that will change you. The presence of God changes you. Bragging on him to others will change who you are. Thank him even in the hard times. Well, this is a tricky one. I know it's tricky. But I can't see that. Okay. Hold on a second. Let me read Psalm 34:1 because I didn't yet. And that is David speaking. He says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. So how different would our life be if his praise was always on our lips? There's not room for much else, right? If we're just constantly praising God with our mouth, like David wanted to do with his life, then there's not much room for much else. And that's what he wants for us. He wants us to be praising him no matter what. And then Philippians 4:6, of course. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So even in the hard times, thank him. I make it a habit for myself. Anytime I pray, I thank him for something. We all have something to be thankful for. You woke up today, you're here. You live in a free country where you can worship him, right? We all have something we can find in the midst of whatever it is that the world is throwing at us. There's something we can find to lift up our Savior. And we should be doing that. Read your Bible. And before, ask God to help you believe every word. If you really struggle with your faith, before you even go to his word, ask him to help you believe what he's saying, because it's real and it's true and it's alive. He speaks to us all the time through this if we just give him the chance. And then another way to build your faith is give him a chance to do his thing. We have to be patient because his timing is not never, I can't say that, but it's hardly ever the same as our timing, right? He's building us up in different ways when we wait on him. Psalm 40 again is David, 1-3, he says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He hears us right away, doesn't he? We wait on him and he hears us right away. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Now, it doesn't say where that rock was. He could have set him in a rock right around all that mud and that mire, right? So he could still be in the midst of it, but we have that firm place to stand. It's our faith is that firm place to stand. Jesus is that firm place for us to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. So even when we're going through the hard times, we should be able to find something to praise him for. He needs that. He wants that for us. And the world needs to see this for us. Okay, so the next thing we're going to talk about is benefits to having strong faith. Again, there's a billion, right? There are so many. But this is what we're going to focus on. Less worry, stress, and fear in your life. How many of us could use some of that? Just less. We do not have to worry ever. How many of you think you could do that? Just never worry again. Ever, ever again. Aaron thinks he can't. It's possible. It is possible if our foundation is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then what in the world do we have to worry about? He is our Father. He has defeated Satan, sin, and the grave. He can take care of whatever it is that we're dealing with. He's big enough. He's good enough. He's God. Philippians 4:7, which is right after 4:6, the do not be worried, do not be anxious. But right after that it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So don't be anxious. Pray about everything instead with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will be in your hearts. So when we have that unshakable faith in who he is, that Jesus Christ on the mountaintop, whatever mountaintop you want to think about, the cross, the transfiguration, we just talked about him changing into the person that he is in heaven. That is who we serve, and that's who we believe in. Okay? A more positive outlook on even the most difficult times. Paul, of course, is the perfect person to talk about when we're thinking about being positive, okay? He's one of my favorites in the whole Bible. Acts 16:25, Paul's just been thrown into jail for who knows how many times he's been in jail, right? But he and Silas had just been thrown in jail. In 16:25, worship. Let's just have a worship service. They hadn't even been in jail that long, and they just start worshiping God. And you know their jail cells don't look anything like ours. It's just this little hole with dirt and such, right? He's in jail, and he's worshiping God. It doesn't matter what it is that's going on in your life. Worship him. Lift him up. You will be better off for it. Believe me. And then you'll also have a greater chance of affecting others for Christ. Again, Acts 16:25 through 33, the worship service breaks out. This huge earthquake shakes the ground. All the jail cells bust open. The guard's freaking out because all these guys are about to run off and he's going to be killed for it. And Paul's like, what are you worried about? We're still here. So these jail things open up and they don't even leave. And instead he stays exactly where God wants him to be, in the midst of misery. Exactly where God wants him to be. And that guard gets saved. If we lift him up, no matter what, it will touch others for Christ and for the kingdom. God's going to do big things in and through you for his kingdom right here on earth. John 14:12 is one of my favorite passages, and it's where Jesus tells his disciples, you're going to do greater things than I did. When I leave, you're going to do even more than I did here on earth. And that blows my mind, because he was raising dead people and he was healing people from diseases and, you know, all the things that Jesus was doing. And he told them, you're going to do greater things than me. What if we lived in that reality? Just accepted it that, hey, we can do even more than what Jesus did right now. He has that for us, but we got to believe. It says in 14:12, if you believe. So we have to believe he is who he says he is. Okay? So we're going to spend some time on this next one. I didn't write it down. There it is. Ephesians 6:16. Sorry. Can you go to the next slide for me? Ephesians 6:16 talks about the shield of faith. In addition to all this, he's been talking about different armors of God, if you're not sure. Take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All of them, with our faith in Jesus Christ, we can extinguish all these arrows. So we're going to talk about arrows a little bit, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about what's been happening in my life. For the last, man, it's been, what, 2 years at least? 2 years. Me and Aaron have been on a car journey. Some of you know about it because you've been praying for me. But we've been on quite the journey with our vehicles. And this is just one of the ways that God has affected our lives. So this is my shield of faith. Do you like it? Looks like a children's pastor made this, doesn't it? Okay. So on Way FM the other day, they were asking, if you had three words you could come up with for your faith, what would it be? Just three words. And immediately I was like, he's already won. You have to put that together to make it three words. But he's already won, okay? Because one of my favorite David Crowder songs, a super old song, but he's thinking about the walls of Jericho. And it's just a very repetitive song, but he says over and over and over again, we've already won and you don't have a chance. Just over and over and over again. As they're walking around those walls seven times looking like fools, shouting and screaming and singing praises to God, even though the walls haven't fallen down yet, they knew we've already won and you don't have a chance. And that is where we live, Christians. We have already won. He has already won it. And Satan does not have a chance. And we have to stop giving him a chance in our life. We should not be living defeated lives as Christians. We should be living in this. He has already won, and they don't have a chance. So whatever he's throwing at you, just claim it. He's already won. You don't have a chance. Get out of my face. Okay? So we have been on this car journey, okay? About 2-3 years ago, I got rear-ended in a car that was almost paid off, and it was totaled, of course, right? So we start the journey of looking for a new vehicle. We find a vehicle that turns out to be a lemon. It is a lemon in so many ways. But transmission problems. But he's already won. Praise the Lord. So we prayed, please, Lord, sustain our vehicles. We couldn't afford any of this business that was needed to be done on these cars, okay? So let's see what else. Transmission problems. $800 power steering. But our friend fixed it for half that cost that we could afford. So praise the Lord. He's already won. Brake problems.
Hey, where's our security team?
Brake so bad it had to be fixed that day. Again, we couldn't afford it. Hey, that was my face. Called our friend, he fixed it for what we could afford that same day. Praise the Lord. It just kept going, guys. 2 years. I mean, you've been there. Just please, God, just don't. The car smells like burning when you're driving it because of an oil leak. God sustained it. Praise the Lord. We still praised his name, even though I didn't want to drive those cars. Okay? And so here's the cool thing. God really did help us keep the faith, I'm telling you. I had a few people, you know, Eric and Ashley have been praying for us forever about this. We've been praying and just really, really struggling. Aaron got a new job that provides a truck. So he drives the truck instead. Praise the Lord. So now there's one car we don't have to use that much anymore. 2 weeks ago, we were out looking for flooring, actually, because we get some money back from our taxes and we really need kitchen floors. To be announced. So we're out looking for floors. His mother calls and she's like, look, we've been talking to your grandmother and she wants to sell you her car. It's a 2011 Toyota Camry with only 46,000 miles on it. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord. And they've made a deal with us so we can afford it. He's good, you guys. It was 2 years of a whole lot of going to the shop and a whole lot of praying for resources. And he's taking care of us because he loves us so much. And he's bigger than anything that we could ever face. And I know that car problems, you might be dealing with something that's way above that on the scale of stress and worry. But he can handle it, you guys. Amen. Just believe, just claim that he is big enough. Let's pray. Precious God, I thank you so much for your promises. I thank you so much for your love and your goodness and your ability to take such good care of us beyond what we deserve. God, you're so good. I just pray that you would bless us this day. You would help us in these moments, whatever might be going on in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, that you would take it, that we would be able to just surrender it all to you, God. Because you're greater and you're bigger and you love us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please stand.